You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Hey, everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. In this first segment, oh, man, we talk about so much. We talk about the Jermaine Jones thing.
A little bit of drama.
We also talk about Costa Rica.
We had a lot of drama in Costa Rica.
Oh, baby, it got wild. Plus, we talk a lot more in that first segment.
Exactly. And then in the second segment, we are joined by Total Soccer Show.
Woo!
Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove are here in New York, in studio, on television with us. It was epic, important, significant.
That's right. And also, they were here.
So we had a great time talking to them. So all this and more today on the Cooligans.
Hello, this is Daryl
and Taylor.
We are the Total Soccer Show, and we've been spending some time with our good friends, the Cooligans.
Baby.
See, baby.
Right. When we get back from a Spanish-speaking country,
we're different.
We bring it back with us.
Yeah. Right? We go back to our roots.
Okay. Why isn't Spanish the national language of the United States of America?
All right. There is no national language, right? You're racist. We can speak whatever we want, my guy.
That's what it says on the flag. Yeah, we're writing it on the flag.
The flag got collapsing into like, we can say what we want. Say what we want.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show.
And hello to you.
Hello. Yeah, well, you're included in everyone, yeah, Alexis. Yeah. My name is Christian Polanco.
Yes, he is. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together we are the Cooligans. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest show that you have ever seen.
Yo, we better be, my guy.
That's right.
Because we're not just that. We're also the gulliest. Correct. And we're also the most costarricense.
Okay. Things are a little different now, all right?
The salsa running through my veins.
Yo, Costa Rica was dope.
Costa Rica was beautiful.
We mentioned it last week. We went there for a CONCACAF Champions League game between NYCFC and San Carlos.
San Carlos. And we were at the Alajuelense Stadium, which is dope.
Yes. We'll get to the details of, like, we didn't even know where the game was going to be played.
No. Your boys almost traveled 6 hours out of the way for zero reason. We're going to Honduras.
We were
going to
go through mountainous terrain 100% to watch a soccer game.
We were going
to
be at the top of a mountain and be like, where's everybody else?
Nobody likes footy around here.
Thank you, Uber driver, for telling us where the game is.
Oh, you know what? So this is interesting. On my way back, because we didn't
say it on the show. That's all we do. If it's interesting.
Apparently, Uber is illegal in Costa Rica. Did you know that?
No, we used it the entire time.
We used it the entire time, but apparently it's not regulated by the government, but it's getting out of control. Like, they can't stop people from using it. So but they want the taxis to have, like, more superiority over the country. So Uber, they all the drivers, my driver to the airport was like looking out for cops. He was just like, I was just like, yo, did you rob a bank?
We riding dirty, dog.
Yeah. What is going on, man?
We got work in the trunk. You better not touch my bag.
I'm like, why do I need an alibi to ride an Uber? Yeah.
So I get the ride for free if I swallow these condoms.
Yeah. But there's nothing in them.
It's weird.
What is this about?
Why are you wearing it? All right, how are we going to allow that on TV?
Anyway, I swear, it's a soccer show. It's a soccer show. So we went to go see soccer. We had a great time. Coming in hot, everybody. Okay, this show starts.
I can see why Uber is illegal in this country. It's not fair.
This show starts very fast.
We coming hot. This is why we don't talk before the show. Boom, we coming hot.
So yes, we did have a great time in Costa Rica, and we'll talk a little bit more about that experience.
Well, hold on, you're just going to drop this bomb that you and I were taking illegal Ubers everywhere?
No. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that was basically it. So they apparently, if a cop sort of in certain areas, especially tourist areas, they look for Ubers because they want the taxi like unions or the commission is what has more control and influence over the government.
Oh, wow.
So, hey, learning something.
Uber, man, illegal. Yo, he almost got us arrested.
Okay, we're international criminals now.
Yeah, they asked me at the border. It's like, you have anything to check or to declare? I was like, nah, you took any Ubers over there? Huh? I brought, like, salt back with me. And the guy's like, do you have anything to declare? I'm like, no. I was like, no. Yeah. And then right after that, they put your bag through a metal detector. I was like, uh-oh.
They're like, are you sure? You have nothing to declare?
They did rip apart the salt, by the way. Opened, it was a gift from my wife. I brought back salt. They completely opened it all up.
They put it back?
Well, it was like wrapped nice. And the guy just like starts cutting. I'm like, Doug, what are you doing? This is in Atlanta. And he's like, yeah, we got to check. He's like, you can't just walk around with whatever this is. And I was like, it's not drugs, but one of them was green. And I was like, I swear, it's not drugs. But he opened it. He was like, what is this? I was like, my wife's a chef. And he was like, oh, all right, my bad.
Well, that's not the correct answer.
No, but I got away with it. What's up, government? Okay. Yeah, also the dude was Puerto Rican and from Trenton originally, and he lives in Atlanta now doing TSA. What's up, my guy? As soon as I said that, I was like, where are you from? He's like, Jersey originally. I was like, oh, me too. He's like, oh, yeah, blah, blah. I was like, I'm Cuban. He's like, I'm Puerto Rican. I was like, oh, we're homies. And he's like, yeah, man, I'm going to wrap this back up for you.
Okay, I'm glad.
Shout out to TSA, yo.
Said no one ever, right? Anyway, we always like to start this show by showing love to the people who show love to us. And we have a review on iTunes.
Right.
If you listen to this podcast, instead of watching it on TV, leave a review.
If you like it on TV, just leave us a review on the podcast. You know what I mean? One hand feeds the other. Is that how it works? No one hand shakes the other? What is it? What is it?
The foot, feet touch.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah. This Uber is weird.
So
a waterbed in so your
this,
Uber.
This was great. You want to split this? You want me to read it?
I'll start with, it's from Big Papa Knee House.
Ooh.
Okay. Don't know what that means. Maybe I'll explain as we go. 5 stars, of course, because if not, we don't read it. We hit report a concern because we're concerned for you and your bad taste. All right. So laughter really is the best medicine unless it burns when you pee. Hilarious. Shouts to you for already coming up with funnies just in the title. I have a connective tissue disorder called, we should have let you read the first part, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. And I have to spend 2 hours a day doing often painful physical therapy. My favorite day to exercise is when a new Cooligans podcast drops. I never thought people would mix what I do with exercise. You know what I mean? I always assumed I would be inspiring less exercise. These guys are hilarious, insightful, thoughtful, and all around good guys who really know their soccer. They make a long, arduous round of exercise fly by, and I couldn't recommend them more. Thanks for all you do, all you guys do, Christian and Alexis. 99% sure the title of this review was a line from AG on the show.
So you probably said this, unless it burns when you pee.
No wonder it was funny. I said it. All right. I looked up Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. Do you know what this is?
I don't know what it is.
It's a disease of, and I hope I'm saying this correctly, of the connective tissue and mostly the tendons. So they could take like their hands and bend it all the way back.
Okay.
So all of their joints will hyperextend.
Ooh.
Which I don't know if it's painful when that happens, because in some of the photos it doesn't look like they could just do it, but apparently it could get out of hand if it's not treated. So they have to go through a lot of physical therapy to make sure like their bodies just don't go out of whack.
That's incredible. Wow. Big Papa Knee House, man. We hope wish the best for
Maybe
you.
This is why his knee pops.
What? Because
Papa Knee, because he could bend it the other way.
But it's not
Papa Knee House.
But it's Big Papa.
Yeah, but you don't know. Maybe it's a play on word.
What is your...
You don't
sound
know.
Like a rapper now.
I give you 5 stars.
No, man. I know that, you know, it obviously sounds like it's a very challenging and difficult condition to deal with. So I'm happy we can help a little bit.
A little bit. Maybe you giggle. Maybe right now you're freaking out. You're like, oh my God, he's talking about us. And people in the gym are like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he freaking out on the treadmill? Also, are you done yet? You know? So maybe that's what's happening.
So thank you, Big Papa Knee House. And then anyone else, please leave a review. Help us. We're currently at around 618 reviews.
Come on, yo. Get us to 700 already.
I mean, it looks ridiculous. Not at 700.
I'm embarrassed.
You should be embarrassed too.
You're a fan of the show. It's not even at 700.
So, we have a lot more to talk about regarding Costa Rica.
That's
and,
right.
And that we should probably tease. One of them, I actually I was at the airport with Saprissa. With the team was going to the second leg to Montreal.
Oh, really?
So I was at the airport, met all the players. I met like 4 or 5 of them. They were all there. And one of them hit on my girl.
Hey!
So,
all right. So slow down, Saprissa.
Saprissa, you're on notice.
Yeah.
Okay?
Maybe you should focus on the other leg. You know, the one you're playing.
Okay. Or maybe my girlfriend was sent there by MLS to distract Saprissa. So you lose in CCL.
They got rid of Tam. Now it's, no offense to your girl, it's thought allocation money.
With all due respect.
With all due respect.
let's keep talking about Costa Rica. Let's talk about the game itself. Obviously, the CONCACAF Champions League has begun. NYCFC is their first time in the tournament, and they played against San Carlos, right? So the game itself was unreal, right?
It was the atmosphere was dope. Half the stadium was empty, but everyone was like on the TV side.
Yeah, yeah.
So like it was all like you couldn't really see how many people had filled in.
CONCACAF knows what they're doing.
Yeah, CONCACAF's okay. Like
little David Blaine smoke and mirrors.
Let's make it a little bit, you know what I mean? We're gonna blur the size of the camera angle. It was pretty impressive. How many people? Because a lot of those fans that had to drive 3 hours.
Exactly. Yeah, they came from.
It was an away game for both.
Yeah. Yeah. So just CONCACAF makes the rules regarding what stadiums they play. This picture you're seeing right now, this was actually the day before you got there.
Yeah, this is the Saprissa game.
I went to the Saprissa game with the third rail.
And you got to watch Thierry Henry.
I did. I got to see him on the sidelines. That was dope, too.
Right. Do our show, Thierry. Come on.
You've been warned. Yeah. But no,
I did say it like it was a threat.
Montreal Impact fans, they had a large crowd out there.
Yeah.
That was really... You heard them from outside. We got there like maybe 15 minutes late or something like that. Because I had to scalp tickets. Couldn't find tickets to this game.
So you had to get scalp tickets. You weren't scalping tickets.
I started a new business. I got tickets from a scalper.
Yeah.
You couldn't find...
At a Walmart.
No. This is right outside the stadium.
Oh, the outside. Didn't you say you had to go to a Walmart?
No, that was the some of the other NYCFC fans, they had gone to a Walmart. I guess that's where you buy tickets or something. I don't know.
Costa Rica is wild.
I don't know any of this
Costa Rica got no rules. The only rule is don't get in an Uber in Costa Rica.
But the environment, the stadium was unbelievable. I mean,
How much did you pay for the tickets?
Like $30.
That's way too much. The face value was like $1.50.
No,
right?
The face value I think was like $19.
Oh, so tell me,
it wasn't like crazy.
You bought somebody a coffee. That's great.
But it was totally worth it. Yeah, man. The atmosphere, unbelievable. There were like 20,000 people there, I think. Maybe more. They were down 2-0 and Montreal was up 2 goals. It was unbelievable that they were winning. I've never seen a group of fans be so angry at their own team. Like, you know, anyone, your team is down, you're like, hey, come on, pick it up back up, boys. You can do this.
No. No. No, we're not all moms, dude.
But at least there should be, there's a difference between frustration and then literal anger.
But there's like, yo, what the hell are you doing? There's that anger.
Oh, yeah.
These guys were next level.
No, these guys were just like, you know,
you're like, this is why your brother doesn't call you back.
They were talking about the players' mothers.
Roasting them. The
subs warming up.
Just they warming up.
Roasting, burning. I mean, it was just like, man, like, hey, I'm a comic, and I'm like, this is offensive.
Yeah. Can I speak to the booker of this club?
They were furious. And then,
really?
In the last few minutes, the last like 20 minutes of the game, they ended up tying the game. But it was an unbelievable.
You know what sucks? Those guys were like, see, this is why we yell. They tied. We drew even. You're welcome. You're welcome for inspiring you by viciously ripping apart your family.
So whatever motivation they need out there in Costa Rica, it was received.
They got it. Yeah.
They got it.
Well, Saprissa is their biggest club. That's like their Real Madrid, if you will.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad I got to be there.
Barcelona fans just got angry.
it was pretty wild. And then comparatively to the NYCFC game, it obviously wasn't as much fanfare. Though,
Carlos is a smaller club.
Yeah,
but they're doing really, really well in the standings. I believe they're in third, if I'm not mistaken, currently.
I don't remember.
Everybody relax. But they had a really good fan base that came down. NYCFC, I think that some of the front office people were there, and I think they were very impressed with how many people came out.
Yeah, yeah. I think they were a little bit over, as far as just the NYCFC supporters, I think it was like a bit over 100.
Yeah.
And then there clearly was like maybe 7,000-8,000, if I'm being generous. There was a fair crowd there.
Yeah, it was a good enough crowd. It was a fun atmosphere.
But 5-3. And then we also got to march with Third Rail and
insane.
A bunch of the other supporters.
And you're not allowed to do the smoke bombs, the blue smoke or the orange smoke in New York. They refused to let you do it in the stadium. So they brought him to Costa Rica. Apparently somebody bought them in Costa Rica because when you, they smell terrible all the time. But they popped in. I was like, this smells extra bad. Like all the shit that the FDA is like, we don't allow in the country. They're like, send it to Costa Rica. We'll put it in those flares. You know what I mean? I was breathing. I was like, this is not good. And we were walking through Alajuela.
Yeah.
Which is the name of the neighborhood, right? And there were three grandmothers that stood like sometimes there was a couple of people throwing
stuff. Some will call them alabuelas.
Well, that's the point I'm making, right? Some people were throwing stuff at us from like the second floor. Like I saw that happen, like, but it was like nothing. It wasn't like coins or anything. They were just like pretending or whatever. They were joking around. There were three grandmas that stood outside and like started clapping. I was like, abuela, abuela. And a bunch of the NYCFC was like, who are you rooting for? And I'm like, no, abuela. Look, abuelas. And they're like, oh, abuelas. It was like these sweet little ladies. Yeah. I'm like, can we go upstairs and eat? You know,
I was recording as we were walking through, or we were marching through the town, and I kept filming people. And it was just like, it felt a little bit like, who are these ruffians walking through my neighborhood?
But it was also like, we had to walk on the street.
Yeah.
So we're just blocking traffic. Cops were on dirt bikes. Police dirt bikes. And I was like, I know some of these dudes is corrupt. You know what I mean? So are we protecting me or what? What's happening here? But it was dope. It was like the dirt bikes had like all the flashing lights on. It was so cool. It was like, it felt like we were in Derby days.
Yeah,
it felt
like
we were in one of those videos live.
Yeah,
like Ellie Menchen was going to pop up and be like, I'm going to explain everything about this neighborhood to you in amazing detail. And my face is going to show all the expressions.
That's a good Ellie Menchen impression. Yeah, you don't really get, while this show, you're going to get a good Ellie Menchen impression.
Your other podcasts, your other TV shows could never.
But there was so much security that it did feel like they were not aware that this is an MLS team with just, you know, polite people that like to go see soccer.
We're like, no, you guys go. You guys go.
It was just so many cops like, we're not ultras, okay? You know, we got 401ks.
Yeah. None of us have health insurance. We ain't really trying to fight out here. You know what I mean? If we get stabbed, that's like $9,000 where we from.
What's your healthcare situation? Yeah. I hope it's single payer.
When I see someone dial 911, I say, stop. How much is that ambulance going to cost? Go get me an illegal Uber.
That's the kind of soccer supporters
we a little different out here.
But no, man, the game ended 5-3. NYCFC wins this game. I mean, no defense, right?
Nobody was even trying to play defense. Like, you don't play it, we won't play it.
NYCFC was clearly the better team.
There's Hebert with his mixtape album cover.
Yes. Holding up,
the tray.
Leading goal scorer in the CONCACAF Champions League.
Yeah.
Okay. Hebert. Very, very impressive stuff. But San Carlos looks like very much a weaker team.
Yeah. The second leg will be fun, though. They look like they have the ability. That Omar Brown, who had played for Montreal,
right,
after he played for Independiente, I thought he had played for Herediano. He didn't. He played for Independiente. He's now back in Costa Rica. He plays for San Carlos, and he had a golazo. So they got, whatever that massive defender is, number 23, who looks like LeBron's shoulders on a soccer defender. This dude looks massive, but also Mitrica was running next to him, who's a tiny person.
Yeah,
so it looked hilarious. It looked like one of the kids that you walk out with was allowed to hang out with him. He was just a monster of a human being, and he could keep up too. He runs really fast. He kicked the ball with such force. I think he did score, but even the goalkeeper was like, I'm gonna let this go. I'm not trying to break a hand out here.
Yeah. I was impressed with at least how comfortable offensively NYCFC looked, but it's preseason, baby.
That's their first competitive match. Five goals, not bad.
NYCFC have a lot of defensive issues sort out. I think
we talked to the coach. We gave him some options.
We actually saw him at dinner in the hotel, which was cool.
I told him the same plan I gave Shirondolo. Let's see what happens.
Okay,
next game might be lit. You know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Let's see if you really earn them coaching badges.
Cialis is going to be the official partner of the defensive partner of NYCFC.
Put it on the shirt sleeve. The crotch sponsor.
You ain't got one. We do. You can compress it, but the crotch is going to get it expands when you know the defenders are really working.
Okay, all right. We're trying to make money out here.
We're trying to think outside the box or what goes inside the box.
Yo.
How much is this show actually going to air?
We'll be back.
everybody, thanks so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
Exactly, Gully Squad. Yeah, always looking out. So a couple, the common things we say. We say, hey, join Gully Squad to get some exclusive content. So you can see the MLS roast that we did at ISC.
Right. Maybe you'll get some exclusive content from our Costa Rica trip.
Exactly. So there's going to be some new stuff coming out. But also, the MLS Fantasy League, the Gully Squad Fantasy League, is now open for Gully Squad members.
That's right. If you want to get in on this Fantasy League, you got to be a member of Gully Squad.
Exactly. So we want to make sure that the people that are playing are, one, invested, emotionally invested, yeah, right? And also care about who they're playing against. You can talk trash and be,
in a Slack channel that may or may not exist, which definitely does exist, but I'm not going to confirm that.
Who knows? Right? But we're also going to be giving prizes to the winners of the MLS Fantasy League. So
that's right.
Make sure. I think we haven't discussed it, but with last time we gave away $100.
$100.
I think we should double it this time.
To what, 102? What's the double? Why are you going crazy, Christian?
Let's do it. Let's give away $200.
$200.
To the winner of MLS Fantasy Gully Squad. Go. That's how we want to give back to the people who have given so much to us and changed our lives.
That's right. So if you want to be a part of that, if you want to win your $200, you think you got game in MLS Fantasy, or maybe you just want some exclusive content from us, join Gully Squad. All you got to do is go to SoccerCooligans.com, click on the Join Gully Squad button, or go to SoccerCooligans.com/Gully Squad. And the form is right there. Join it. We would absolutely love it. We'll see you in the Slack channel that may or may not exist. Hey, baby. Welcome back.
Okay. Welcome to the Cooligans Book Club.
I don't know why we got to yell all the time.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can be sweet. You know what I mean? Whisper. Hey, we back. So we were talking about Costa Rica. That was amazing. Wasn't the only CONCACAF. There were two CONCACAF games going on there.
Yeah.
Because you went to the other one. But that wasn't the only place. Apparently, LAFC took the entire city of Los Angeles to León.
Yes. They also took a big old L, too.
Yeah, I know. Well, all right. But a lot of people saw it.
But no, it was that was also an entertaining game. 2-0.
For some people.
For some people. But, obviously, I think LAFC was probably put up against, one of the better teams. And they're
a much tougher club.
Yeah. And in much better form than some of the other teams from some of the other countries.
Right.
But I think the big highlight was, obviously one thing of just seeing how they would play. And I think they looked okay, but still just didn't look in form.
I mean, it's always going to be tough when it's a preseason. Yeah. Even we were talking to, people in Costa Rica, they were like, it's this pretemporada for you guys.
Yeah.
It's preseason for you guys. This isn't fair for you. Everyone knows it,
Yeah, yeah. They'll still take the goals and the wins
some teams still showed up and scored 5 goals, but other teams just couldn't.
Yeah. So the LAFC lost that first leg to 2-0, but really the big story was one, how many people showed up, right?
1,500 people.
It was unreal. I was watching it all over.
I mentioned this to somebody and they were like, yeah, but how far is León from LA? Thinking it's across the border. And I was like, not sure. I know. I was like, I think it's south of Mexico City, so it's far. And I pulled it up. It is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a hell of a journey.
Yeah, it's a flight. You can't. Yeah.
You could drive, but you need to start at the end of last season.
It is a journey. No, yeah. But the fact that they brought so many people, and we saw the videos from Max Brados. He was posting a bunch of stuff. It was just unreal. It's just we've seen it time and time again from LAFC, the amount of care and support for a team that has not existed for very long.
Right.
But people are.
And I love when people say LAFC fans are plastic. It's like, what more do they have to do for that?
If that's what plastic looks like, fine, I'll take it.
And bro, I'm Pam Anderson.
Okay, I'm getting rid of all my silverware.
You know what I mean? We're killing these sea turtles or whatever the hell it is out here. We so plastic, dog. Melting in the sun. It was just incredible. They brought that many. And here's the thing, right? If this was Europe and you heard we're in Italy and Manchester United brought out 1,500 fans, they'd be locking the city down.
Yeah,
what I mean? It would be everyone would be afraid.
Because they're dangerous.
Right, yeah. And also just watching the game, it hurts your neck to see that much bad soccer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why do we let all these vandals into our city?
This is worse than the coronavirus outbreak we have here.
I'm glad Brexit happened. Yeah, making it difficult for some of these.
The free movement was really pissing us off. When did this become an England roast? But the point is like they're like ultra or firm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you heard that many fans from an opposing country or an opposing fan base were coming, they would be afraid. You know, you'd see videos of people getting smashed over the head with chairs and stuff. What did LAFC do? They went to an orphanage, gave them a bunch of toys, and took those kids to go see the game.
Plastic.
Dog, you trash ass fans. Don't you be helping out kids?
Look at you phonies.
Yeah, ew. Old Chivas USA fans.
No, and look, and Club León also posted out a tweet. This one is, if you're seeing it on television, it is in Spanish. It says, el fútbol también se juega más allá de una cancha, y ahí no se ganan puntos, se hacen lazos de amistad. And so basically you're saying
football's played not just on the pitch.
And it's like it's not about points, and it's really about friendship and bringing people together. So
yeah, you said that because y'all won. It's not just about the two goals we scored against you. It's about how much you helped us before we beat you. You know what I mean? I think it's beautiful that y'all were willing to take that L.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought all these children to see us win and be victorious over you.
And they were there to comfort you. You know what I mean? You're like, things are going to be okay. I know. It's just a beautiful thing like to make an impact. And I was talking to one of the LAFC fans, the 3252, Valeria, because she posted this. And I was like, wait, could you send me an article or something so we could talk about it on the show? And she said,
shout out to Valeria from Goalie Squad.
Absolutely. Yeah. She said that it's important. If you're going to be a member of 3252, of any supporters group that's a part of 3252, you have to do charitable things. It's a part of the regulations. So when they go on away days, they always think, how can we help the city we're going to? Which is just a wonderful thing. And I wish more soccer fans, not just across the country, but I mean across the world, but across this country would do that. You know, if every city you went to for an away match, you did something to help that city, everyone would benefit from that. And maybe that's something that could carry on, you know?
Yeah, I think we should start like a Big Brother program, but exclusively for Alexis Guerrero.
I would love it, yo.
Because he needs a little bit of direction in his life.
I didn't have a dad. Have you heard?
Yo, some of these supporters can find some sort of system that we can get Alexis.
How you know I don't want a teddy bear? How you know until you bring me one and see me cry?
There's a lot of, you know, just, you know, undiscovered emotional issues. Alexis really,
it's really deeply buried. I like, if you bring me chicken parm, maybe I'll get to it.
He's a big brother or a big grandpa.
Or a big chef, you know?
Big chef program.
A big sous chef program. You know what I mean? Just someone that, you know, can chop it up, you know.
No, impressive stuff overall, man. It just goes on. Where, you know, we've been doing this show for almost 5 years, and it's crazy how much, at least for me, I did not know how much the soccer community really does give back to not only its supporters, but to
the Jillian Sankovic did that show about the supporters like helping out the local communities, but I've never heard of a supporters group going to another community helping them. To me that's something that's absolutely incredible. Normally it's like, we're gonna help make some extra room here at this cafe and make it open air by throwing something through this window. Very rare do you see.
Can we bring orphans to like a comedy club?
Yeah.
And is there something we could do? Because my only worry is that we would make them worse.
Yeah.
You know?
They'd be like, well, I thought I was sad. But then I saw this guy's act.
I saw this open mic.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now,
this wasn't an open mic. This is a bookshelf. He's like, I'm not so sure, Chief. You know?
So we'll see, man. I love seeing stuff like this. It's generally just very inspiring and motivating, and you it's a thing about American soccer that you really don't hear about enough. And this is a couple things. So they in León there was an article about it,
right?
And people were like, a lot of LAFC support, a lot of soccer supporters in general were like, yo, how come this isn't getting any press in the United States?
The article that we have came from The Banknote, which is a self-published, like a publication ran by fans. What are you doing, Sports Illustrated? What are you doing, everyone else that I can't think of right now? Print is dead. I'm starting to wonder why.
What dying media can you remember?
Y'all can't even tweet it?
Yeah. It is kind of absurd that we have to ask. We have to beg. Like, New York media is also notorious for that.
Notorious.
As well. Just and not BIG either.
Right.
Just constantly ignoring.
That's right. The New York Times. Notorious.
Just constantly ignoring soccer. And it's like, what will it take?
It's what just, do we got to do?
The charitable like activity is nice, and that would get publicity. But as soon as it's attached to soccer, they're like, oh no, cannot talk about it. You know, no.
Our readers don't like that. Your readers are dying. Okay, boomer. Talk about soccer.
You're talking to one specific boomer. I love when we talk about this man.
Oh my God,
the greatest ever American. the countries have ever been blessed with. No, we have to talk about Jermaine Jones because he's
the gulliest national team player of all time, right?
It has to be. Has to be. Yeah.
Especially after post retirement, right? Because Dempsey's just out there fishing. He ain't saying nothing. Dempsey. Yeah. Alexi Lalas? Nah.
No. Alexi Lalas
is more of a contrarian than he is gully. You know what I mean?
I would agree.
Landon Donovan ain't said nothing.
Landon Donovan is in San Diego.
Yeah, he's
coaching
chilling.
San Diego loyal.
Yeah, he's not gully. He's wearing flip flops to work. That's not gully at all. You know, don't nobody want to see your toes.
Jermaine Jones was profiled in Sports Illustrated by Grant Wall.
It was an expose, but he liked it. You know what I mean? Okay.
He was totally for it.
Yeah. He was like, oh, y'all calling me out?
Yo, Grant, write more down.
Yeah.
I got more things to say.
This isn't disrespectful enough.
Yeah, so if you haven't read it, go on Sports Illustrated and check it out. Because
honestly, get a nice cup of coffee.
It is a nice read.
A comfortable chair. And just
get the kids around. Tell them a story.
Let it wash over you. Just let the Jermaine Jones wash over you.
I mean, there's obviously a bunch of quotes.
I mean, it's almost, we'd have to do a whole episode on just
we
this.
We don't have enough time.
I'm 30 for 30 on this alone. But one of my favorite things was like players from Europe would reach out to him to be like, yo, where do I go? Can you get me in the club? Can you get me a VIP?
Yeah.
Can you get girls to come sit with us the whole night? And he would do all that. He would set up and they would text him, thanks, bro. And he'd be like, no, you need to pay me.
So
he started an agency called Define Concierge Group.
Yeah.
Just for this.
This is
just
beautiful.
So when Memphis Depay comes into town, he can
Or Bleak.
Bleak ain't got nothing to do. Bleak wants to be an intern, actually.
Where?
At Define Group. Memphis Bleak ain't got nothing to do.
Okay. I didn't know the intern where, like for the Elizabeth Warren campaign?
Yeah. What are you talking about? I mean, he got nothing to do. Just a lot of flap rims on the dude. He got nothing to do. But he set this up so he can get paid by these guys.
Yeah, so that's
part of the service, though, is also he does vegan food delivery, which is actually his ex-wife's service.
he's doing Uber Eats.
He's blending it all. He got five kids, dog. He's like, I got to pay for all this. You want in the club? All right, could you give me just like one payment for a nanny and I'll let you in? You know what I mean?
Yeah, so I mean, you could barter with him at this point. But there's so many quotes in this article. Obviously, my favorite one, top one, referring to Bruce Arena, he goes, Bruce Arena, quote, he goes, quote, Bruce Arena, with all due respect, is the worst coach I ever had in my whole career. The worst.
Hold on. What was the respect do there? And could you detail?
I'm looking. Maybe it's between the lines.
You know what? Sometimes he was good at getting through defenders sometimes. Maybe that's what's happening here.
Okay.
Because how it comes across to me as if no respect in your mind is due.
Honestly, I see box to box disrespect.
I mean, I see your heat map is all only covered the disrespect. I feel like there's no respect. You got no shades right now.
Yeah, these the Venn diagram.
It's just two circles wildly apart.
Okay, respect and disrespect.
They're not meeting. You're quoting in the middle, my guy. He's the worst coach I've ever had.
He continues, says the worst, and he's like the number one American coach.
Which now you throw shade on the whole country, my guy. We can't allow that.
He also continues and he says, and with all due respect is a theme of this article. And
must Grant, be the first thing he learned in English.
Grant points this out a bunch. He says, with all due respect, how can you go from Bob Bradley and Jurgen Klinsmann to Bruce Arena? Like, what are you doing, guys? Love it. Love it. I love that.
He doesn't say anything about Jurgen Klinsmann, which is a little annoying.
Well, that's his homie.
That's what I'm saying.
German homie.
But if you're going to be the guy who throws people under the bus, you got to throw everybody under the bus.
Okay. That's fair.
You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Like, I talk that talk, I got to be able to, like, make fun of myself, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't just all of a sudden be like, don't you dare talk about me, even though I'm wild disrespectful to you, with all due respect. He should say with all due disrespect. And honestly, it would be a little bit more.
It would make so much more sense. He continued another one. He says, Tim Ream is not a national team captain, with all due respect. He's a nice man, but not a national team captain. What did Tim Ream ever do to you, Jermaine Jones?
Did he take your flip-flops or something on the way to the shower? Because what happened?
What is... Look, Tim Ream, I guess when someone points out, like, oh, he's not a national team captain, in my mind, I'm like, what? Is this the biggest concern? Who wears the little piece of cloth on their arm? Like, there's bigger issues. So why attack Tim Ream so directly?
Yeah.
He plays for Fulham. I could understand.
He played in the Premier League for years. Seems like a nice guy. Maybe he's not a vocal.
Maybe he earned the little piece of cloth on his arm. I don't know. Who do I like? It just seems like it's just such a specific thing. And he's really the only player that he targeted in this article. I'm like, yo, he must have done something to you.
He must be homies with Bob with Bruce Arena. Here's the one thing I want to say real quick is he said, then I went to a shop and I was like, yeah, I want to get a gun license. I have no idea. First test I failed because I have no rules. And then I went back and learned it and got it. Then I asked the guy, what's the easiest gun to shoot? I'm not going to read the rest. Why?
Out of context, it's even better. Yeah.
Oh, my guy.
This should be.
Do you have a PR person?
We need a Twitter account like Out of Context Jermaine Jones because this is perfect for that.
1,000 tweets done.
Read the article because obviously, and we've talked about, you know, we interviewed Jermaine Jones. Go back and listen to our interview or watch our interview on YouTube.
Yeah.
He's a very complex figure, an emotional man, had a very public,
very open
issues with his wife, ex-wife. Yeah.
And that's all in here.
It's a big story. But I mean, the more shocking stuff is the stuff he says about Bruce Arena, not the guns.
Yeah. It's crazy. You gotta read it.
So, check it out ASAP.
Well, this weekend, we were both traveling back from Costa Rica, so you didn't get to experience the Cooligans Classico.
Yes, but I did watch. I watched the extended highlights, I got to see the. So I did get
Why?
To see the game.
Yeah, because your team took.
Yes, Everton loses.
To the great Arsenal
at the Emirates.
Which there was a lot of writing on this, just besides pride and the fact that I'm get to gloat, obviously. But both teams have had a pretty great start to the decade, right? We're both undefeated.
Sure. Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so there was a lot riding on
it. It's what a weird positive thing to look for. It's just like,
I'm an Arsenal fan. I got nothing else.
Yes, this decade.
Liverpool's about to go undefeated and ruin the one thing we have left. Could you give me this? Please.
Yes, both teams have been on the up and up with their new managers. But I thought Everton obviously was going to take this after, scoring 40 seconds into the match.
You know what? I got a cup of coffee. I sat down. I put it on. It's like game will start in like 2 minutes. I'm like, okay, cool. And then like 2.5 minutes later, I'm already down 1-0. I was like, how is that possible? I haven't even sipped on this coffee.
A goal from Dominic Calvert-Lewin, acrobatic.
Yeah, it's not technically a bicycle kick.
Yeah.
But it was sort of it was like a very Giroud-esque goal.
Giroud-esque. You pronounce the D.
Giroud-esque. Because if not, it's Giroud-esque, which I'm not sure. I guess that still works. All right, whatever. I barely speak English. You want to now learn French?
I wasn't used to hearing the D in Giroud. Anyway. So, early goal. Mm-hmm. But with Everton, they can't hold on to Leeds. Not the team, Leeds.
The city. They just couldn't hold on to it. You know? Maybe come back.
They lose 3-2, and the goals. Aubameyang and Ketia.
I mean,
and Pepe, right? Scored?
No, not Pepe.
Oh, Aubameyang got two.
What? Aubameyang got two.
Okay, yeah. So, but the first one from Emerick Aubameyang was unreal. Like the goal in itself was great, but the movement to stay on side and still be that fast.
It was
I mean?
It was a very Thierry Henry-esque. Do the show.
Also, Giroud, do the show.
Hey, because Giroud.
Whenever we say esque, those are people we want on the show.
Yeah, Esquire is what we're calling you. No, it was absolutely impressive. Watching Arsenal clearly not have the best back line in the world. And like, yo, Mustafi, complete mistake on that first Calvert-Lewin goal.
Yeah.
But oh my God, from that point on, played incredibly well. Arteta is a magician, okay? Like, he made Mustafi look good, right?
and yeah, I barely recognize him. His hair is right. Silver.
He went Kanye on us, dog.
Okay. He wore a MAGA hat out there, bro. It was crazy.
You moving to Wyoming? Why?
Wow. Really
with the rest of the voters.
Turn heel out there, Mustafi. Impressive. So, whatever. I mean, I believe there's the second leg of this, and so we'll see. Everton, the Toffees will get back.
Right, because we know in order to win the Cooligans Classico, it's an aggregate score.
Of course. Yeah. So, rules are rules.
Right. And away goals count. So
just CCL rules.
But whatever. Now Everton slides down to 11th. Arsenal are 9th. Finally above Burnley. And it's embarrassing that I'm excited about that. So
the one thing I wanted to talk about regarding Everton was a couple weeks ago. So this was Everton's first match since
the international break.
The international break and Fashion Week, mm-hmm. Which happened in New York. And
they coincided.
So, which is always planned.
Right. Yeah. Fashion Week's like, when are the boys done playing before we do this?
No,
whole
but
thing?
There was a couple. I don't know if you follow.
Well, most of the time, these European players, they go out to like Dubai and do like the basic bitch vacation if you're rich.
Okay. What package is that? The basic
vacation. Yeah. FC Dallas has the basic vacation. I'm sorry. We love you, FC Dallas people. But whatchamacallit, they go out to Dubai and they take pictures with like huge bottles of champagne. Oh, I'm on a boat. Oh, look. Salt Bae's here. Shut up. You're embarrassing. You have no culture. Bunch of yes men around you telling you to go on a boat in Dubai. You're all embarrassing yourselves. Except for
Tom Davies, central midfielder for Everton, and Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Want a little culture in their lives.
Striker out here in New York City.
Dressing like porn directors in New York City.
From the late 60s.
Yeah, they look like they just solved the crime. They look like detectives who also make love and show full penetration. You know?
Because it's art.
Yeah. I don't know the difference, but I know when I see it.
No, this was wild, man. They're in New York on city bikes.
My guy's on city bikes. This is the anonymity that New York City gives you.
This is gonna be the banana boat.
Right.
Remember for Dwayne Wade and LeBron?
Yeah.
This is the thing that's gonna take Everton down.
Yeah, this is it right here.
Them on city bikes just riding around.
Taking pictures, and the dude's wearing like a Louis Vuitton purse, and he says, satchel, not man bag. It's like, yo, my man.
Don't get it twisted, dog.
And by the way, here's why we're mentioning it. This is amazing. They went to cafes. They went to the plays. They went to museums. They took in culture. And of course, what do the English fans say? Nothing but positive things, right? No, they went full-blown homophobic and misogynistic on these guys.
Do they have any other dial? It's always full-blown or nothing.
Some reason, it's broken. We can't get it to respectful. It shuts down it with all due respect. And shouts to Tom Davies wearing Cuban heels, which I didn't know was a thing, but shouts to Cuba.
Yes, Tom Davies up the Toffees and bench Gilfy.
Yeah.
Tom Davies should be up there all the time.
Thank you, Arteta.
This was news that was posted two days ago.
It sounds like it's going to be sad news.
No, positive news. Yeah. This is a blessing. Well, first of all, Atlanta United fans finally happy because they have a Spanish language Twitter account. This was a thing for years. They kept like tweeting at the English account being like, yo, do entiende? Right. Or what?
When is you going to speak Spanish?
They were asking for so long.
Yeah.
And no real response, no real answer of what was going on.
No one hit the translate this tweet. They're like, I can't understand what they're saying.
But occasionally the Atlanta United Twitter account would post stuff in Spanish as well.
Yes.
So some people thought like, oh, then maybe they'll just be bilingual. Right. But no, they finally did it. At Vamos ATLUTD. So congratulations for Atlanta United fan. And also congrats to Atlanta United being the first MLS team to reach 1 million Twitter followers.
That's huge.
Which is unreal. I mean, this is a huge, huge deal as far as like getting notoriety on a global scale. It is becoming the biggest club in Major League Soccer. At least from...
How far is New England Revolution? Is anybody on a jet?
Couple more to go. Yeah. So I feel so bad because literally...
How do there are Cuban heels?
Literally, as we were typing this, as we're doing the show, New England Revolution just followed us on Twitter. So
well, goodbye.
We follow you, so we're one of those couple hundred thousand.
We helping.
So good for them. But now MLS added.
They do this every year. They have the hashtag flags.
Flags, yes.
Right?
Hash flags, as they say.
So if you do a hashtag, if you do like the hashtag for each of the teams, there's a, like an official hashtag, a little like a little thing pops up. Sometimes it's the logo or something else. No, not for everyone, right? For Houston Dynamo, it's
the horns?
An orange horn. And theirs is, so now they're Spanish ones. So 16 teams have Spanish ones. And for Houston Dynamos, Déjalo todo. Which is.
It sounds like leave your family.
It also sounds like the house is on fire. Déjalo todo. Don't grab nothing.
You don't need anything. It's not important.
It's leave everything. I'm sure they mean on the pitch.
Yeah.
But it's not how it comes across.
It's just not clear.
Yeah.
But you know what? We support it.
Yeah. I mess with it.
RSL, all right. You gotta love Pitbull getting involved
again. Cubans, right? The Cubans. How about Inter Miami coming in with La Familia?
La Familia, I am a CF.
La Familia, like you're one of us. You better bleed.
You know, slice your finger.
Yeah,
and let's touch. Yeah.
You're part of La Ganga.
Blood and blood, bro. Dude,
we're gonna jump your grandmother into this. Barrio Angelino, which is a disrespectful to Galaxy. LAFC is like we just happen to be inside of Los Angeles.
No, I like that one, Barrio Angelino.
It's pretty dope. I mean, it's not.
There's a lot of Vamos Vancouver.
Vamos Galaxy. Vamos Timber. Somos Timbers. Azul y Oro, which is pretty dope for Philly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Azul y Oro.
Todos like Unidos, which is Nashville, right?
Yeah, yes.
Los Bruins. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It works.
I mess with it. Not everyone got one, right? NYCFC doesn't have one. Red Bull doesn't have one.
Yeah. Some now people are talking about what.
Dallas doesn't have one.
Yeah. If NYCFC, like what should theirs be if they do make one?
So people are saying Yo Soy Celeste, which is like the song, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's tough because there's a couple.
They could be like hashtag Adonde Está El Juego, which is hashtag Where's the Game?
Adonde Vamos Jugar? Where are we playing?
En qué casa?
You know? Vamos Fire. Por Columbus. I like that one too.
Poor Columbus?
Not poor Columbus. Oh. Just after every game, poor Columbus.
NYCFC should be Dito. Shout out to my Puerto Ricans out there.
But no, this is great. Again, I guess just more inclusion. The Hispanic fan
needs
in
to
the
be
US.
Respected.
With all due respect, they need to be respected.
If you're not going
to
put any Latino coaches or people in U.S. soccer, the least you could do
give us
a hashtag. Something, a pupusa somewhere.
Yo, D.C. United's
they got pupusas.
Pupusa United.
There's his hashtag come ma.
All right, we'll be back with more after this, guys.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening. We want to bring in with a word from one of our sponsors, On the Volley Apparel.
On the Volley Apparel, if you want to get Cooligans merch, the hottest, flyest merch, the dopest, the fattest.
You're going to go through all of them?
PHAT, bringing it back, baby.
Pretty hot and tempting. But yeah, we might have some new stuff coming out on there. It's pretty dope. That's the place you want to go. But you know what? We're going to give you a discount, and not just on our merch, right? Look, we want you to buy our merch, but guess what? You're going to get 30% off, right? Or is it 20% off?
20%.
20%
off. You've done this been a sponsor for pretty much like 3 years.
I don't pay attention, but it's 20% off the whole store.
The whole store. The brick and mortar.
Take whatever you want.
No, just the merchandise on the website. So go to onthevalleyapparel.com/cooligan so you can go to our specific merch store. But if you just go to onthevalleyapparel.com and use the promo code cooligans, you will get 20% off your entire order for anything on the site. So make sure you do that because you can get the Gullia shirt. You can get a cooligans talisman cap.
The Popoti.
So there's a lot of options there for you. And then a bunch of other stuff from On the Volley as well. So make sure onthevolleyapparel.com/cooligans and make sure to use the promo code cooligans.
Hello, baby!
Yeah! Let's go! What? Finally. That's all I have to say. Finally.
Finally.
It's happened.
The collab of collabs.
Okay. Long overdue.
Yes.
Like about 4 or 5 months.
Right.
Too long.
Yeah, absolutely. Because we got a lot of tweets.
Okay.
When is this going to happen?
Hello. Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Christian Polanco.
That's right. And I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are the Cooligans, who are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that you have ever seen.
We better be.
Okay.
All right. Well, what other comedians are you watching right now that host a soccer show? Why?
Does Kevin Hart host a soccer show? Yeah, I don't think so.
You see anyone like Dimitri Martin, you know, with an easel trying to do soccer bits?
Yo, I don't even think Dimitri Martin knows what TAM is.
Nah,
bro.
Son. Get up out of here. You ain't no capologist, my dude. We're also the Gulliest Soccer Show.
Correct.
We found a way to come back by just...
And we're excited about today's show because not only do we have, soccer experts, soccer geniuses.
That's right, which is us. But we also have these two other people.
Our friends, our dear friends.
Absolutely true. We've been on the road together. We've done multiple collab shows together.
I thought you were going to say drugs.
Yeah, dude. That's right. We're all snorting Adderall before the show. It's not true.
He has to clarify.
Just because I know someone's watching, like, oh, cool. The Cooligan said I could snort Adderall. No, I didn't. You're a stepdad. Stop doing it. Leave for your kids. These are two of our favorite people, the two favorite people in this business that we've met. We absolutely love doing collabs with them. Finally, we got them on TV. Ladies and gentlemen, unless you're driving, put your hands together and do it twice as hard because there's two of them for a total soccer show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, guys.
Hello.
In unison.
Yeah.
Feels good. Yes, Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove. You guys are here in New York.
Daryl's the British one. In case you're wondering,
I think we're gonna know once he says one word. Yeah.
The branding is British and big.
Yeah. Taylor's the one who looks like he's here to pick up his kid from soccer, and also sounds like the kid he's picking up from soccer.
Okay, so
now I'm just not gonna talk.
People who are possibly listening to this already, we've done countless crossover episodes. We've done tours together. We are quite intimate with each other. All right, it's quite a foursome.
That was part of the tour show. You really missed. That was the Amsterdam show.
But for the people possibly watching who do not know who you guys are, you guys are the hosts of Total Soccer Show, which you've been hosting for quite a while.
10 years.
10 years.
10 years.
And it is probably the most all-encompassing American soccer show I have ever heard. It is.
I'll say this: it's the most iconic American soccer show.
Okay, well, I wouldn't go that far.
Right?
keep going. I want to hear more about what it is.
Keep going after the Cooligans.
So, what? How did Total Soccer Show begin? For some people who may not know who you guys are, and how did you end up here?
What's the origin story?
All right, so we'll do it real fast, right?
Yeah.
So we're based in Richmond, Virginia. There was a public radio station down there. We went and pitched a soccer show. They said, are you sure there's enough soccer to talk about for 27 minutes a week? We said, we'll find a way.
27 minutes?
Yeah, 27 minutes and 30 seconds a week is what they were worried we wouldn't be able to get enough soccer content for. We started putting it out as a podcast. Some people started listening. We started sneaking in and doing extra shows. It would be like if you guys came in here when the production crew wasn't here.
Right, right.
And did your
and stole the beers out of the fridge.
Yeah, we wouldn't come here to work.
Nah. That sounds like a very you problem.
And we just kept adding a day a week till we were 5 days a week and we could cover like almost everything.
That's insane.
That's insane. So when you were doing that, obviously, I imagine you were not making any money, right? But you were doing this 5 days.
I mean, I was, but in a different job.
Oh, yeah. Yes, you were a man of the night while you were...
You called a prostitute.
That's your second sex worker joke in like 2 minutes.
Have you heard of us?
No, but look, when we were on tour together, we got to like kind of share stories about like either... your soccer stories, our comedy stories, and when we were When we started just, we did like other comedy podcasts and we just kind of like made that commitment to do that, knowing that we weren't going to make any money. We didn't know what would sort of come of it.
It was just like eating up time for us.
And yeah. And when like we were it was like one day a week, but to do it 5 days a week must have been a real belief in what could possibly happen.
Or was it extreme boredom?
Somewhere in between, I'd say, because really it wasn't.
A little bit of a Venn diagram there.
I think it was just sort of, maybe it was the incentive for me to move back from like Northern Virginia to Richmond was just, if you move back and stop living in a terrible place, then we'll go 5 days a week and it'll be fun. And that was pretty much it. It was mostly just sort of like, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. When we started off pitching the show, the network we were with asked if we were sure there was going to be enough soccer for one show a week. And now here we are with like six and seven sometimes. So yeah, that balances out.
Also, we're not dumb. We didn't start doing 5 days a week with no money, right? It was when a little bit of money came in, we had a show, but we build and build and build.
Okay. Yeah.
Strategery.
Yeah. You started a soccer show in America and you want to tell us you're not dumb? we've all been there, man. We all see what this is.
Yeah, I'm trying to ask you, like, why do your wives believe in you?
Yeah. That's a very good question.
We're not going to go back to England and take on Luke Moore, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But we will. Here and take on you guys.
Yeah, we will, dog. We're coming for your fans, dog.
So but that level of, like, the show is just... The show is just huge now. I mean, it is, you are arguably, and this is like the thing, when I first met you guys, and we first met in Philadelphia for the United Soccer Coaches Convention, you guys came to a stand-up show.
They put the pressure on us.
That we did, right? But I didn't know what you guys looked like, and you guys are like the voices of soccer, but not the faces, right? Like, that was like the thing where when we got to do the tour together, a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't know what you guys looked like. And this is like, you guys are cool, and you look okay.
People were going up to Christian going, Daryl? I'm like, nah, that ain't it.
We actually got a lot of, I thought you were the other one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We still get that. We still get people emailing to correct us for having it listed wrong on the website.
Yeah. That's hilarious. You're wrong. This whole American thing. I know y'all know each other, but you did it wrong. Yeah.
These people have been watching Face Off. They think we should.
Yeah. Great. Great movie.
So the fact that did you imagine the show getting this big? Like, you guys are now a part of the Athletic Network.
You're the first podcast on the Athletic, correct?
First American one. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and that's saying a lot because they hate America. Anyway. We're teasing. Yeah, we love you guys. But the fact that the show got to currently where it is, like, what's next for a Total Soccer Show? Are you guys even generally thinking about growth, or is it like, we're good and we can't believe this happened so
far?
There's
no more days of the week. I mean, how many more episodes can you do? What else is there for you?
I mean, I'm really enjoying just sitting here listening to you all say really nice things about us. It doesn't make me feel uncomfortable
at
all.
Segment, yeah. So,
that's fair.
We have been doing a little bit of producing. Mm-hmm. So we've started producing a couple of other shows, like a Major League Soccer show with Joe Lowry, Jordan Angeli. Yeah. Right? Mostly because we don't know as much about Major League Soccer as we do about maybe some European league. So we thought we should help someone who'd be good at that, produce another show.
Of course. Okay.
So that's maybe the next thing is to start producing.
And I do plan to throw in
tips.
I could steal some from the barista downstairs. If you really want them. We are here with Total Soccer Show. You guys... sometimes people will say, what's the difference between you and soccer? No one says that. But the way I like to explain that is, like, the ratio that we have to jokes to facts, you guys are the opposite, right? Yeah. You guys are very funny, but you do research and stuff, which we don't. I mean, people are like, do you even watch the game? And I'm like, what game are we talking about?
The one we're at?
Yeah. Oh, I should turn around? Yeah. Well, maybe the concession line stand needs a shorter line.
I would say based on the, like, frequency of your storytelling, the best way to explain it would be that we stay and watch the game. And you apparently, as soon as kickoff happens, go straight to the bathroom to see if incidents occur. That seems to be the way it works.
To be scoring, Taylor.
That's the way it does his work.
Okay? I'm sorry that I'm trying to help the team doing what I do best, which is releasing my bowels.
To be serious, I think it's part of why we're friends and why we can work together is we're not a threat to each other.
Right? Oh, sure.
Like, when we first met, I think that was like immediately we recognized that. Like, oh yeah, you do one thing and we do another, but we're both in the same space.
You're not going to rewatch again for tactics, and we're not going to go through Jermaine Jones' Instagram endlessly.
You're missing out, kid.
So that's what you're doing when I'm going through Instagram is watching games. But what do you think? like, you guys focus a lot more on the nitty gritty, and a lot of what you guys talk about is the men's national team. How frustrating, first of all, is that? And two, where do you think about where we are now? Some of the tactics seem to be kind of sort of gelling with the team. Just give us a little bit of insight. Give the fans a little bit of insight that from people who actually watch the game.
I think a big thing for us, like from the beginning, and a reason why I think Daryl and I work really well together is because we both tend to want to know like what's happening and why. And I think that's what we sort of have tried to do with the show. I feel very pretentious talking about the show like this, so I apologize. But like, I think that is sort of
helps us. You also sound it.
That's good. It does. It does. Thank you.
No problem.
But yeah, I think so. That's kind of how we try to approach it with the national team, is less like I'm really mad about this, this is really frustrating, and more like, okay, there must be a reason why they're doing it, why he's playing this way, why he's caught up this player, hasn't caught up that player. So I think approaching it from that perspective maybe makes it easier a little bit to talk about.
And I think that's what the two watches are for, right? The first watch is all emotion and like, oh, is that going to go in? Oh, I'm so angry that he missed that. And then the second watch is, oh, maybe he missed that shot because he was under pressure from this angle. Or, you know, I mean? So there's one emotional and one analytical.
And that the second watch already. I mean, we applaud you both because...
I'm tired. I'm tired thinking about it.
I've already been through such an emotional experience that I don't know if I can watch the game again. And that is, for people who do not know, they watch the game over again and again to analyze it. And a lot of time you get a lot of tweets all the time like, as soon as the game is happening, people are like, oh boy, I feel bad for Taylor and Dow, they gotta watch this again.
Well, you guys first do your quick take, hot take, right?
Sometimes
when you get a chance. And that's like the immediate reaction to what just happened. No data, as I like to call it, the closest thing you get to Cooligans.
We should call it the Alexis.
Here's us just yelling about something that we're not even sure happened in this game. We may be talking about something happened in another game. But then you rewatch the game and you take notes. And what I would do if Christian and I rewatch the game, we would be doing it to watch who to blame. You guys don't take that tag. Like, here's the guy who should get dropped from the club. You don't do that.
We call it the Jermaine Jones angle.
Yeah. With all due respect, is the name of that episode.
You really are you really are George Costanza's father, huh? It's just I got a lot of problems with you people. I'm gonna find one of you. And now you're gonna hear about it.
I would love it. Was it Jerry Stiller, right? Shouts to Jerry Stiller. When you rewatch it, how hard is it to sort of remove yourself and to try to be more tactical? And you guys, I know you play. Have you guys coached before? Because it seems like that's sort of you guys take the tactic of like, if these were the lads, to use your phrasing, that I'm coaching, here's what I would come back with. Here's where we messed up. You have that kind of approach.
Well, I mean, Taylor's got a coaching license and we both coach in an adult team for
Street
Soccer.
Yeah, I could get a fake coaching license too. This isn't, right? We're not bragging here. Okay?
He has a real coaching license and I'm very good at laying out cones.
Yeah, cool. Well, is that sort of the tactic that you guys try though? You got to be like, because the fans seem to appreciate that. Like, it seems like you guys kind of quell the anger the fans have sometimes.
I think Daryl's really good at that. I tend to be like the more emotional of the two. And I am the one who was probably in the past like, we can watch it once. That's fine. I think Daryl has the dedication to like making sure we actually have like watched it and have opinions on it. So I think I tend to initially, maybe in the hot take ones, be a bit more emotional, a bit more reactionary. You tend to be a bit more level-headed, unless maybe England is involved, and even then you're usually pretty calm.
I guess I have more free time, I guess.
do you think
that's all it is?
Right. She's got somewhere else to be. I'm like, let's watch it again.
I guess I have nowhere else to go, so we'll watch this a third time. Where do you think the men's national team is headed? Are you confident as they sort of get closer to World Cup qualifying?
And before you answer that, I want to just make sure, like, some of the two matches coming up against the Netherlands and against Wales, and the last match was against Costa Rica in a friendly. And the interesting thing was, we were just in Costa Rica, and I loved a moment. We were talking to one of the waiters at a restaurant, and we mentioned we're American and stuff, and he was like, "Oh yeah, remember we beat you guys in the World Cup qualifier in New Jersey?" I'm like, yeah, man, I remember.
We were there, dude.
So it was Chris Farley show style. He just kept making it worse. Like, remember that? It was cool, right? That was
one of the things I appreciate about you guys is you guys have genuinely made me care more about the men's national team, in the level of attention that you pay, that you focus on it.
So it took a British guy to make you more American.
That's what I'm saying. He invaded my mind.
Walked in with a red coat into my brain, dude.
But even talking about the men's national team, why was that such a big focus? I can, at least for Taylor, I can understand him being American. I can understand why, like, there's a natural sort of connection.
Yeah.
But Daryl, I would argue you know more about the U.S. men's national team than most people on this planet. So how did it become, how did it make you care so much about it?
Yeah, actually, I don't have a fun answer, but the real answer is when I moved here in 2005 to marry my wife, she was kind of the only person I knew to begin with.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't really have a connection to the U.S., but I had a connection to soccer, right? So I started watching the U.S. men's national team, right? So that became like my first little bit of patriotism, you know what I mean, was the U.S. men's national team.
You just get a red hat and just, I mean. Yeah.
Well, that's the alternative, right?
Yeah.
Be glad I chose this one.
Yeah, please. Please don't. Please don't do the other one.
I owned a red hat, not that type of red hat. Yeah, red hat is gone now.
Yeah.
I'm not wearing that in public.
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
How long did it take before you started calling it soccer?
Not long.
Really?
I really believe in the idea that, you and I have talked about how British people can be very like, this is the way it is.
Yeah, of course. Kind of thing.
But also, if you're in a foreign country, and I know we share the same language,
right.
But if you're in a foreign country, you use the words that people use, right? You go to Italy, you say calcio.
Do you go back? When you go back to England, do you say soccer?
Do you say calcio?
I mean, I haven't been to Italy in a long time.
There we go. Yeah.
Oh, wow, we're just bragging that we've been to Italy. Not bad.
When I go back,
do you say soccer?
Yeah, when I go back, I slip sometimes, and I'll get like a nudge or
It's like when your friend comes back from Barcelona, and they're like, "I was in Barcelona." You're like, "You don't have to. We get it." Or they're like, "Namaste. I was in India." Don't do it.
But it's not in that pretentious kind of way. It's more in like I just accidentally said that because that's what I'm used to saying.
Are you like super loud when you go there, like American as hell, just kicking stuff over? Why is this beer warm?
Refill my soda.
Yeah. Why isn't this cup larger for this free refill? I'm not getting diabetes. Why? Daryl, you have it already. Jesus. Isn't that messed up? You have it and I don't. Why do you people believe in God?
Daryl, who's the first American?
What do you
American?
Mean, you people?
Who's the first American that you remember watching? Was it Harks?
Yeah, way back in the 90s, John Hawks.
And John Hawks, who also hates us.
Because we called a penalty on the other team at a charity match.
Yeah.
So I mean, you can't deny he's a competitive individual.
That is for sure, because he still hates us.
All your idols hate us.
Yeah. Welcome to America. We'll be back right after this with more with Total Soccer Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Alexis, why are you talking?
Because I want to, dude.
We're doing a TV show. I don't remember.
Is that what these cameras are about? Get out of my living room.
Welcome back. We are here. We're still here with Total Soccer Show, Taylor Rockwell and Daryl Grove.
That's right, baby.
I wanted to talk to you guys and Daryl in particular about the last couple months, the last year or so, have been pretty intense, pretty scary. I know for you, for us, for your family and friends. Yeah. He said fans before family, which shows where Alexis is.
That's my hierarchy.
Are the sandwiches scared? No. All right, well, then call my mother.
Yeah. Daryl, you had a...
You want to talk about cancer, right?
I want to talk about cancer. You had a cancer.
Wow. Shifted from first to fifth gear.
Boom. I don't know how to drive manual, so I'm a little scared right now. No, you had a cancer diagnosis over a year ago.
Yeah, January 2019.
And obviously, we were all incredibly shocked. I mean, this was a few months after we ended our tour.
Yeah.
And we didn't know what was going on. And now we see things. You generally look better. Everything is just in a much more optimistic place. But one thing I wanted to point out was really the soccer community came together in a way I've really never seen and really donated to the GoFundMe and helped support. So like, what, you know, let, how do you feel? How did you feel about that? And what is your life look like now?
Yeah. Okay. So the last year, genuinely, you would think it's been the worst, but it's been this weird like mix of the best and the worst. And like one of the reasons why it's like the could be the best or is it like it's been a good year is that the response of the soccer community and the way sort of everybody helped fundraise and like, cause I even like have insurance, but you still need money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We won't get into all the reasons for that.
Country sucks.
Right? Cause America's the best. We allow you to spend your own money.
Kind of.
You're welcome.
But when you get a diagnosis like that, obviously it's a big downer and you can be feeling like, oh no, what's going to happen? But then you get like a really good lift from the response of the soccer community, which was basically everybody, basically just well wishes, which are genuinely, you know, nice to receive. And then the fundraising made me less concerned about like how we're going to handle this kind of thing. And then third, it convinced my parents that the Total Soccer Show was a real thing.
There you go. Oh. Which is important because my mother's still like, I don't like what you do.
Yeah.
Go become a bus driver.
It took you having cancer for your parents to be proud of you.
It was kind of, but it was the response of like, even on the GoFundMe, there'd be people who were like, hey, I listened to the show. And
I saw it too. I mean, it's difficult to, easy to get emotional about all of that because it really shows like and we were talking about LAFC bringing orphans to a soccer game before, like the there's something about the soccer community and then the American soccer community also, maybe because it's more like niche, people feel more protective of it. There were so many people that were like, you know, he's one of our own. Like, we have to do everything we can for
them. American. And it was people that we know and love, like you guys. It was people who we don't really know, like your friends, the Men in Blazers. Like, we've never met those guys, but they helped share it and promote it.
I believe
they are
good friends of the program.
Is that right? but to your point, it's like the whole soccer community, even when you're not like actually connected, because we don't know the Men in Blazers, but they still helped share.
But like, I think one of the things that surprised me the most is you didn't set up the GoFundMe, right?
No, it was I just would have felt weird asking, right? But I'm very lucky that a good friend of mine, she set it up, and she's a copywriter, so she like
it was very well written. But it was one of those things that I remember like talking to you, and you were like, I would have never set that up. I'm not the kind of person. And I was like, I'll set one up for myself for now, I'm for vacation, you know. You're the kind of person who wouldn't even do it when you have cancer. So seeing how sort of someone had to set that up for you, and then seeing how people reacted to it and how many people came out and just wanted to help and posted messages and retweeted it and tweeted it on their own. When you see that, it sort of gave us like the idea that like, okay, soccer has a larger reach than sometimes we can imagine it when we're doing the shows like this. Sometimes you think like, oh, it's small and niche and whatever. You can see how big and how big it got. Do you want to sort of just, are you able to update the fans a little bit on how you're feeling?
Yeah. So I've been doing little updates on the show. You've obviously not been listening.
What's the name of the show you guys are doing?
I refuse.
Yeah. United States of Soccer. Yeah.
So, it's behind a paywall.
So initially surgery, remove the primary tumor, chemotherapy to attack the tumors that had spread. That worked for a little bit. Then it stopped working. We did the live show in the middle of that, right? When I was the Daryl Skinny live show. I was fitting in some shirts.
Right. Where Quincy Ameriquois was poking at you. And we're like, please stop.
Right in the tumor. Yeah.
He poked you in the tumor. The kid can't hit a goal, but he can hit that. What's going on?
So then that stopped working. And then my doctor was like, hey, let's just try like a clinical trial. We'll find you one. And that sounds like a gamble, right? But they found me this thing in Boston that was really specifically targeted at a genetic mutation I've got. And so far, knock on wood, it's been working for like 2 or 3 months. It's been working.
That's incredible.
It's amazing. I mean, like when you hear clinical trial, I mean, when you mentioned that, it's just like, man, it's like, oh, is there nothing? You know, it sounds like that's like a last resort.
It is, basically.
And then to see you improve and just get better and just and to your credit. And obviously we're not around you all the time, but every time
every 2 months an intense few days.
But every time we were together, you were still incredibly optimistic and positive,
so positive.
And that it made me uncomfortable. Like, I want to be sad more.
Yeah. Let me go through these emotions.
just to clarify, that's not just a you all thing. Like, that's been from the beginning. Like, there's never been a like, oh, I can't do that, I'm like struggling, I don't feel up to it. That's never been a thing with Daryl. It's always been very positive. It's always been very like, no, I want to get it done. It's pretty inspirational. It's pretty amazing to be around a person who never gets angry about it, never seems to have that like, woe is me, this isn't fair. It's just like, you're very rational. It's just like, it's a situation, I'm dealing with it, let's do the show.
Yeah, we rewatched the cancer.
Yeah. that's where it regrew. Let's do this one more time.
Yeah, I have been pretty mad at your immune system, that more so your immune system than Greg Berhalter. Yeah. It's where I am with that one. Like, come on, you got to mark that better.
I can't let that tumor grow. In DC, I pulled Taylor's out. I'm like, this whole positive thing is bullshit. Like, this guy's. And he's like, no, this how he is. I'm like, oh, you won't even tell me. Like, it's just, it's something that honestly, it's been inspirational to watch, and it's been beautiful. And keep it going. Keep being positive. I don't know that you need me to say that, but go ahead and do it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Up the Grove. All right. We'll be back for
There's
more.
There's only one. Yo, Grove. One of the things when we get together, we do special episodes, right? And one of the big things we do is we take listener questions. Now it's watcher questions, right? Which sounds weird.
I think it's viewer questions.
I like watcher questions. Leave me alone. Sounds like we're behind you.
Sounds
like,
very voyeuristic.
Yeah. I could see you. So we got a couple questions. You guys ready for this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask a couple questions. I think we'll all get to answer. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it will.
All right. So you want to do the first one?
Okay, sure. First question comes from Reverend Joel L. Tolbert.
Is this a real reverend, though?
It looks like it. He's holding a book. I don't know what's in the book.
Holding a book? You must be a religious man.
It's Harry Potter? Wow. Praise you, sir.
What, because you own a white scarf? So, wow, you think you're special, dog?
No, Reverend Joel L. Tolbert, he says, three things to immediately fix VAR in the Premier League. Go for it.
Ooh, I got three.
Shut down all media. Stop everybody complaining in newspapers and websites.
So you're taking the dictatorial approach.
Yeah, absolutely.
So King Daryl says. So far, no more media?
Just no more complaining. Everybody stop complaining. Okay. It'll be fine.
All right, I got one. Go look at the screen, ref. Yep.
Yeah, they finally started. I think that they've done it one or two times this Premier League season where they're finally going to look at the screen. So I think there's going to be improvements. Obviously, the first thing, get rid of the offside line machine. It is pointless and useless.
Oh, the red line, blue line.
Yeah, what a waste of time. Like, let it be, if it's like a guess, if you have to guess, it's a goal. That's my opinion. For real.
So you want to give leverage to the offensive player.
Yeah, I want to see goals.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Make the goals bigger. That's how you fix VAR.
You can see the goals. They just don't count.
oh, sure. Yeah, which is just as fine.
Wow, semantics as if your people invented this language.
That's why when I go to the park, I just throw the ball in the net and I lose my mind.
Rips his shirt off. Get the kids out of the park. He's back.
But Alexis, to your point, like, we were all in Germany. We were at the Bayern Munich game with Frankfurt when I forget who got sent off. Was it Boateng who got sent off?
Boateng. Yeah.
But like that whole process, like, referee went to the sideline, looked at the screen, didn't mess around with the players, didn't stay and chat with them, and then went back, gave the red card, play resumed. It didn't take long. So I think that's a big one. I think to Daryl's point, like, if there's better conversation about it and like it kind of ends up getting talked about, but like Daryl won't talk about it, I think, because it's like, yeah, like the line thing is frustrating, but it's the way the law is. It's being correctly utilized. It's just sort of, if we flip it back, then there's going to be that conversation about like, well, he was offside, that goal shouldn't stand. And so it's always going to be a frustrating scenario. So I think if the dialogue is better and maybe the explanations are more concise, I feel like the FA is starting to panic a little bit, or whoever it was this week who like released an apology before they were supposed to, like that feels a bit like you're sort of playing into the media narrative now and making it even more confusing in trying to make it more simplistic.
Even like the Lo Celso thing where they're like, yeah, oh, it should have been, I'm sorry. That's during the game.
Yeah.
They apologize for getting that call wrong. It should have been a red card. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. That's not great. It's not a good look. See, Daryl's being quiet again. Yeah. He's got nothing to say.
I was thinking, if we do ban all media, then there's a hole that we could fill.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now we just got to start to become media.
Okay, next up, we got a question from Bug Eaters.
Hey!
FC!
Bug Eaters.
And coincidentally,
what a magic trick!
I pulled this out of the bag before we started because you had your jerseys on.
Bug Eaters and scarf in the house. Bug Eaters FC. Has television given soccer cooligans egos? Hashtag Gully.
I mean, you can't give something that's already there.
That's right.
It's like,
up with egos.
I'm assuming this is the owner, Jonathan.
Yes.
He kind of set me up for that one.
Yeah.
I'll be totally honest in this question. Christian, no. Alexis, there was
absolutely not.
Okay. That's what you're gonna say. Definitely a like 5-minute period when we were in Germany where three different times I heard you say like, and I got a TV show. And I was like,
you must have not been paying attention the rest of the time. Because I was saying it forever.
See, this is the kind of analytical taste you can get from watching the soccer show.
Well, they rewatched our friendship and they mapped out whose fault it is. Turns out it's mine.
The cool thing is we could rewatch it on TV.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you can, because we're on TV.
Okay,
now's when we get you out of the studio for saying something disrespectful.
So next up, we have a question from Brian Hansen. He says, if you four were to watch a classic U.S. men's or women's national team game, Mystery Science Theater 3000 style, which game would you watch?
Also, thanks for pitching a wonderful idea for a television show.
So Mystery Science Theater 3000, does it have to be like a bad movie? And does that mean we have to watch a bad game? Or can it be a good movie and a good
game?
You'd
want it to be something that has like a lot of stuff happening in it, right? So you could talk about it.
Okay.
But one that deserves to be talked about. One that has a lot of stuff happening in it.
I mean, I think I'll take the easy answer here. We also do a podcast called Soccer 101 where we like explain basic terms or basic players, like how they got to be so good or whatever.
Plug whatever you want.
And but one of the ones we're going to be doing, I think, in the upcoming season is the 2002 quarterfinal game against Mexico. USA Mexico in the World Cup, where USA wins 2-0. Rafa Marquez gets a red card for trying to murder Kobe Jones at the end of the game. I feel like that's got a lot of incidents and a lot of drama behind
the start of
it's usually
Sarah.
Murder is frowned upon in soccer.
For some reason, not allowed.
When I saw this question, which is a great question, my first one that came to mind was the U.S. Algeria.
Donovan
goal. Yeah, I mean,
see, for me, it would be U.S. Portugal, where Zusi took like too long to come off, and that gave Portugal a chance to tie it up. 2-2.
You're talking about in 2014.
That game, I would love to sort of break down because it was like we might be Portugal.
Right. Yeah, we were so close.
Yeah, it's either that or the women's game against France in this last World Cup.
Okay, I was for the women's. I would say the 99 game, final.
I feel like it needs incidents, though, right? Like, maybe Maradona 86 against England. It's got that like maybe best goal of all
classic
time.
Classic US
and it's
women's.
Got the handball. Oh, sorry.
It's right
there's
in front
a lot of
you.
There's a lot of epic soccer.
Look at you making it about England all the time.
Oh, no, but I think to your point though, if we're going Mystery Science Theater, I think the USA Thailand game for the last Women's World Cup.
Oh yeah,
probably be one where there's so many goals and so many ridiculous moments.
Fodder.
That might be the first one where we get up and go to the concession theater during the game.
Okay,
that is not the first time you've done that.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. I poop.
So this question came from Shaguna at Soy Shagu asks,
which the Shaguna, by the
which
way,
which golden girl are y'all?
And so, she's from Houston, which explains the y'all.
Okay.
I forget that's not ubiquitous until I come to New York and I say y'all and I get the looks of like,
people stare at you.
You're not from here. I'm like, all right, y'all.
Yeah, could you get out of the way, buckaroo? I'm trying to get on the train. there's four of us, right?
So, okay, well, I don't remember the name. I mean, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Blanche.
Yeah.
No,
it's not.
Estelle
Sophia
was the old lady.
The high quality research.
Who's Betty White? Rose.
And Rose. Okay.
I'm either the really old lady or Betty White, right? Like, I'm either Rose.
I want to.
She's kind of dumb, so I feel like that's fair. But then the other old lady's got a lot of attitude, which is also me.
Rose is also kind of accidentally offensive a lot.
Yeah, right. That's Christian.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's more
is
me.
Is that where you're going with it?
I'm a Betty White for sure.
No.
Yeah, Rose is like, she was clever and it's a little snide, but like innocent.
No, she was kind of dumb. That's me.
No, Rose, was she dumb?
Yes, Rose was hideously dumb.
Who was, no, oh, and then hideously Blanche was dumb. The horny one.
Yes. Blanche was the wild one, right? We all know that's Daryl. I guess that makes you.
I get the whoever's
Bay.
Left.
What's her name? B. Arthur.
Yeah.
I'm
Dorothy.
Dorothy.
Have you guys seen the show?
I have not.
So I'm just kind of going with what y'all say.
I watched it as Lo Mujeres Que Son Oro. It's a little different.
I want to be the horny one. Anyway.
I'm the dumb one. Whatever. We got one more question. I know we were asking our questions before. I like this one. Better U.S. men's national team coach between three guys who aren't men's national team coach, but I guess if they were, Nagelsmann, Klopp, and Pochettino, who would you rather have as a men's national team coach? I just want it on record, as I'm okay with Greg Berhalter, if you're watching, okay?
Please do the show.
Yeah, Jersey.
That's what I heard.
Because Jersey always looks out for Jersey. All right? But anyway.
Is he from Jersey? I didn't know that. You don't talk about that every time.
I never bring it up. Trust my guy.
I would go Nagelsmann on that one, I think.
Why?
Those are the three options. Just because Klopp and Pochettino, I feel like they have systems that require everybody to like buy into them.
Be good at soccer.
Yeah, that's a big one. And then like it requires a lot of training, and I don't know if you can do that with a national team. Nagelsmann seems really flexible and does different formations based on the opponent and tries different stuff and is also a child. So I think I would enjoy seeing a child.
He's 32, right? He's younger than everybody.
Yeah. Wait, how old is he?
32.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm 22 years old. Okay. I look terrible.
Cast me in Beverly Hills 90210. Yeah.
I did think when we first met I thought you were both younger than me because I think I'm the youngest of the four of us.
No, we're immature. We're comedians.
Well, you are. Christian just looks young.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, is that what it is? I don't know. When I see a look in the mirror, we both look the same.
I think you look phenomenal.
I think I would say Klopp. And here's the reason why. I've been saying for the longest that I think the men's national team is primed for a pressing style system because we're athletic more than we are good at soccer.
Yeah, Nagelsmann would bring that too, though, right? and would be cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, who cares about money, bro? They got it. Yeah. They're not paying the women, right? So what's the difference? They got it. They got it sitting right there. We'll take it out of the woman's account.
Well, an actual thing that they might have said.
100%.
It's like a shared bank account.
You know, Chuck Blazer yelled at one point as he rolled by his rascal scooter on the way to his cat's apartment. Like, but
I think it's a fair point. Like, could.
Like how he just walks over.
Is Jurgen Klopp that great of a manager because of the roster he has, or because of his coaching style, or is it a combination of both? Can a world like just epic manager go into almost any team relatively and drastically improve them?
So the other thing you always hear about Klopp, right? Taylor and I were always into the tactics, right? But the other thing you always hear about Klopp is that his players would run through brick walls for him, right? Yeah. Like genuine real brick walls like this one here, right? His players would run through brick walls
100% brick.
Good him. Comeback, by the way. Production, well done.
I would love to just see a US national team inspired in that way, right? Yeah, and imagine, like, you know, we go to the press conferences sometimes for national team games.
When we're allowed.
Yeah, imagine like all his big toothy grin, that whole thing. Yeah, like, Klopp would bring a real personality to the men's national team.
Okay.
I'm not sure that's allowed.
But Pochettino is available, so there's that.
Klopp seems like the type who would be like, you could hear him screaming from the locker room and then would just walk in and be like, how are we doing? Everybody good? Yeah. Like, that's not what I heard before.
I don't want to do this. Well, again, I'm really happy to be here, guys.
Well, we were talking about Nagelsmann from Dortmund. And Gio Reyna has been somebody that came up recently because obviously he's playing well. It's just give the ball to Haaland and everything's working out, right?
Yeah. He knows the job.
Yeah. Although he can score on his own. Great curler.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he got in the German Cup. So now the rumor is that it's possible that he has been capped with the U.S. men's national team. There's matches coming up. It seems like that should be the right move and sort that out as soon as possible. But now, because he is Claudio Reyna's son, also born in Sunderland, has, I believe...
There's no birthright in England, though, right?
I actually don't know the situation, but I know that right now he doesn't have a UK passport.
Okay.
Yeah.
They tried to give him one after Brexit, and he was like,
I think you have to have been eligible for the passport before you were 18, I think, in order to file a one-time switch, which I think he would have to do because he's played for the US at an official youth tournament.
I actually think if England wanted to do this, they would have to really, like, get FIFA to do sort of the thing that MLS does for LA Galaxy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They'd have to find some loopholes and Bill Maher, new rules. But I think the important thing with this story is it was reported. I've read the story, right? Yeah. It was on The Athletic.
The research. We read a tweet, Daryl.
Exactly, right? So it's written by David Ornstein. It was essentially, he was just making note of the fact that the FA, the English FA, has this list of like possible England internationals that they're tracking.
And Gio Reyna's,
it's literally thousands, and Gio Reyna's name is on it, and it's on a short list of players who've been impressing, and they might look into the citizenship situation, right? But even half of that headline enters the American soccer Twitter sphere, and we all freak out because Giuseppe Rossi hurt us.
Jonathan Gonzalez. I mean, there's been a bunch.
We've been burned.
It's very sensitive. Like, you don't, it's like as soon as the partial like title comes up, but it's like, please. Yeah. Why hurt us? We have nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did love Brian Schiretta. Like, somebody tweeted, like, both of his parents like represented the like United States. Like, he's definitely going to choose the U.S. And Brian Schiretta was like, I hear that point, but to like stoke the drama a little bit, we do have a player who currently plays for the national team whose father played for another country and is now the president of that country in the form of Tim Weah. You never know, but you do know he's playing for the United States.
Oh, but I said this to you last night, right? Like, the difference between England and USA, like, in soccer is this, but then the difference between, say, USA and Liberia is like, you know, Liberia not good at soccer, right? Okay, so it wasn't like, it wasn't a tough choice.
They've got other things to worry about besides soccer in Liberia for sure. You know, if you're the president, you're like, let's not focus on who's playing the national team right now.
And then I think McBride came out and said today, like I'm not, like, he's going to Europe right now to talk to a couple different players. He's not talking to Reyna, but like expects to hear more about him from us like very soon, which implies he's going to get called up in March.
It was like, we're excited about him and you'll see soon.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
So he could be in the national team for the March friendlies, like Wales and Netherlands.
We're going to get crushed by the Netherlands, and then he's going to be like, you know what, England? Actually.
During the game, you see him pick up his phone.
Don't put me in.
Yeah. Right?
But there's also the Olympic qualifiers for which he's eligible, right? So if Dortmund let him go, he could be playing for the U23s and could get us qualified for the Olympics, finally.
Let's go.
All right.
Joe Rayner for president.
We'll be back.
Of England.
With more. Right after this, guys.
Hello and welcome back, baby.
Hey, all right.
Okay.
To the Total Soccer Show Takeover. Hey. Takeover.
We're going to cut this part out.
They came in here and ripped up my contract. How dare they?
All these microphones are belong to us.
Yeah, you guys were just really nice to us in the opening segment, so we wanted to repay the favor and say some nice things about you. You guys are fine. So we do have...
That's the nicest thing that's ever been said about us.
We do have a bit of like a trivia game for you all. But
so for the people who are watching or listening, this is something you guys do on your show.
No, not this one. This is a new one.
Sometimes, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I should yes and you. Yes and not really.
during our live shows, this was incorporated a lot. We did, we would do games with audience members or guests and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. it was mostly because the two of them are very, very funny and have good bits and good sets. And then the two of us were like, ever just the comics and then these guys and then comics again. Yeah. So we had to figure out some sort of thing to do.
So this is like the filler between Cooligan's stand-up sets.
Yeah, basically.
Perfect.
When we went back, splashed our face with water.
I do have one question for y'all, which I'm guessing probably gets asked routinely. How did you decide who gets the chair and who's on the couch?
Fubo decided.
Yeah, okay. They put the fat guy on the couch.
They needed more support. Any more
you and Andy Richter? Follow the formula. All right. So we had a listener question a while ago. If you all listen, then this is going to be a very simple game. It just feels like a thing that you all could sort of riff on very well.
Okay.
It came from Matt Koss, who said, I remember reading about how Mario Balotelli had a behavior clause and a per goal money bonus in his Liverpool contract. What are some other strangely or specifically written soccer contracts? So we have a few players who had very strange contracts. I'm going to give you the question, and you can tell me what you think the clause was. So Stefan Schwartz, when he signed for Sunderland in 1999, was prohibited from traveling where? More specifically, he was prohibited from leaving what?
Oh, the player hotel.
All right. So Alexis is saying the player hotel.
He was.
What about for games?
Well, I mean, unless so I guess it's then the country.
All right. So Alexis has gone with a serious answer. Christian, if I were to give you the hint that this is not a serious answer.
He was so prohibited from leaving where?
Mm-hmm.
I guess his home? Like, was he like on house arrest?
I'm assuming the country of England.
So can I give the answer?
You can give the
just
answer.
Just so I have a role here. Mm-hmm. He was not allowed to leave the planet Earth. Because he had expressed an interest in signing up for
his agent had booked a seat.
Yeah, like a space travel service.
And they were worried that he was going to leave. Yeah. So keep that in mind as I ask you this one.
Okay,
how else
are
we supposed to prove the world's flat?
A Neymar one. Which of these did Neymar have in his Barcelona contract? A clause that allowed his friends from Brazil to visit every 2 months with Barcelona paying for all expenses, or another clause, a different clause, guaranteeing him £2 million if he did not dispute the coach's choice regarding his position on the field.
Oh, which one of those is real?
Mm-hmm.
Arguing his choice on the field or his homies? I feel like knowing Neymar, it's the homies one is the real one.
The homies have to. That feels more real. It feels like is he that?
You want me to sign? You got to get my mans in them up here. Once every 2 months?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll pick the opposite just so one of us will be right.
I'm saying the homies.
Homies, but the coach.
You've met Taylor before. It was both.
It was both. You're both correct.
You got us. You tricky buckaroo.
What?
Maybe a slightly easier, more obvious one. When Luis Suarez signed for Barcelona, good with the contracts.
He bit the contract.
Yeah. That's his signature.
Barcelona inserted a clause that prohibited what action, which would be met with harsh punishments and financial penalties.
Biting, then.
Correct. Yeah. He has a no-biting clause in his
nibble.
Barcelona contract.
Yeah.
We'll do...
Garacharua,
how much time do we have?
We have about two more minutes. Go for it.
All right, we'll do two. We'll just do one, because there's only one more really good one. Giuseppe Reyna, when he signed for Armenia Bielefeld in 1996, he signed a three-year contract. He inserted a clause into his contract requiring the club to build him a house for every year he was under contract at the club. The club honored this agreement, so to speak, but not in the way he intended. What did the club do?
They built tiny little houses every year. That's my
guess. You are correct.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Out of Lego.
Yeah.
He did not.
That's how I would handle it.
Yo, you think you slick, my guy? Is this a school for ants?
You know, it's like the little, like Kim Kardashian got her daughter a little house, like a dream house. But yeah. She could, like, you know, after she's a toddler.
It's got like a second floor in it and all.
Yeah,
that,
yeah, right? But yeah. It's like, I would build those. I mean, it's like, it's, you know, it's not as insulting as Legos, but it's like, hey, your kids or your dog can have a good time in this little playhouse.
You think he was upset, or he was like, you guys are good. You guys are good.
I was thinking initially like tiny houses, like tiny house hunters or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
no, that would, Legos is
they
better.
Went even smaller.
Legos was disrespectful. He's like, can the next one be red at least?
All right, yeah. We did it again.
Come on,
crushed it with Total Soccer Show. What a collab! Finally on television.
Normally it's just us two, but look how good we are carrying them as well. I mean,
my back hurts a little bit.
It's true,
isn't it great?
No, we were talking during the break. Apparently, this is the first time Taylor and Daryl have done television.
Well, you're welcome. Okay, and we want to cut. What? I'm not sure. No, it's been an honor to have you guys on.
It's been an honor to be here.
Yeah, best friends in the business, you know?
Really?
I like the caveat.
That means a lot.
They're outside.
Guys. Get out.
Yeah. John Strong? John Strong's coming.
John Strong is here.
So, guys, let people know what they should look out for. Any projects or anything you guys got coming up?
There's the show, the Total Soccer Show, which is available on all good podcast players. We also have, Taylor mentioned it earlier, right?
And the bad ones.
And the bad ones too. Soccer 101, which is our sort of guide to soccer.
Which is great. I love that show.
And
too.
Then we've been dabbling in a little bit of producing. The actual producers would maybe laugh at what we're doing, but we're producing. We've got a show called MLS Assist, which is an assist with MLS Tactics.
Right. Nice.
If you want to hear about MLS Tactics, it's Joe Lowry, Jordan Angeli. Mm-hmm. And we're also working with Paul Tenorio and Sam Stagegirl on Allocation Disorder.
Another great show. Yeah.
That's all great.
So make sure you tune in, guys. So as we end the show all the time, so for Taylor Rockwell, for Daryl Grove, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alex Guerrero. And together, what are we?
The Cooligans!